Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's a very important ballot issue that's on the ballot election day, December the 11th, and it impacts St. Tammany Parish. There's a new casino proposed in Slidell, and the residents of the parish get to vote on whether or not it moves forward or not. It's called Camellia Bay. And we have Jay Connaughton, spokesman for Camellia Bay Resort. Jay, welcome to the show.
Noel, it's great to be with you this morning. Good morning.
So, Jay, I'll give you an opportunity to open up and tell us why folks in St. Tammany should vote for this.
Well, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for our parish from an economic development standpoint, but just from an amenity standpoint, when you think of everything that Camellia Bay is proposing, it's a land-based resort that includes a first-class hotel, our first fully integrated convention center, ballrooms, live music, green space for outdoor community events, a luxury spa, a brand-new marina. I mean, this is an opportunity for Eastern St. Tammany and all of the parish to come together for things like graduations, which we're not able to do. Our Mardi Gras crews in St. Tammany Parish go to the Gulf Coast or come to New Orleans to host their balls. Why can't we have that here in St. Tammany Parish? We have seen time and again that these resort-style developments, not just a single riverboat, but a resort-style development, have a positive impact on the community around them in the sense of economic development, higher wages, and ultimately lower crime. And we're just really excited about this project. We've seen a tremendous amount of grassroots support and community leadership, and we're really confident about where we are going into Saturday.
So when there's a lot of economic development that y'all propose is going to happen as a result of this, if you would quickly for the listening audience, outline the terms of the deal.
Yeah, so the outline the terms of the deal, super easy to get through. As you know, there's a big portion of the money that would end up going to the state, which is going to be used for things like teacher pay raises, traffic and infrastructure improvements, potentially state police, things that there's a lot of need in the community. But a big pile of the money ends up going back to the parish. And it comes through multiple different things. So there's guaranteed sales tax revenue, guaranteed hotel occupancy tax revenue, there's guaranteed property tax revenue. And then we have the split with the parish, which is going to generate somewhere in the neighborhood.
Let's stop right there. When you say guaranteed,
yeah, sure.
It's not a predetermined amount of money, right? It's whatever the experience set is.
Well, see, there's two different types of taxes or revenue streams off of this, right? So there's the actual revenue split, which is experts have looked at it and predicted and looked at how much money we're leaking and losing to Mississippi. And they've studied this for years, not just Camellia Bay experts, but also the experts for the state gaming control. And so when they look at gaming revenue, there's predictive nature in that. And they've got really solid reports that have been consistent over years showing just how much money we're losing and how much money we could recoup. But then there are guaranteed revenues. So, for instance, property taxes, the property value set. So every year, Camellia Bay is going to pay their property taxes. Or if you look at your hotel revenue that's based upon, occupancy, that number, we're really confident in that number because we're not overbuilding this development. When you look at some of the tourism taxes that we pay, all of those are straight shots straight into St. Tammany Parish that benefit us and benefit our parish at a time when our budget is stripped to nothing. You know, the voters in St. Tammany have recently said no to sales tax renewals and sales tax increases for the last many years. And so we desperately are in need of new revenue sources. And this is an opportunity to bring a lot of money back into the parish without having to raise taxes.
And then the split on gaming revenue, my understanding it's 5% of the gross, of adjusted gross?
That's correct. You hit the nail on the head, which that AGI
define adjusted gross.
Revenue is defined by the Gaming Commission.
And how's that defined?
Yeah, so the adjusted gross revenue is essentially all of the money that comes in, and then there are deductions that are taken that are stipulated and monitored by the Gaming Control Board. So they remove things like potentially comps or marketing expenses. But all of that's monitored by the Gaming Control Board. It's monitored by state police, and it's the same economic formula that's used across all of the casinos across the entire state of Louisiana. This project will have the largest revenue share in state history. Never before has there been a casino agreement that gives this much of a revenue share back to the government. And, you know, so there's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there in the sense of what our opponents are throwing out there, what the Mississippi casinos are saying to people. But this process has gone no differently than any of the other projects all over the state.
There has been issues relative to comps and whether or not these hotel motel taxes are due on that. What is the y'all are going to take the benefit of that off of the adjusted gross?
We will be paying sales tax on comp revenue. Okay. It's something that we negotiated into the agreement. So if somebody comes in and they get a comp meal at Drew Brees' new steakhouse, well, we're going to pay our sales tax value back as part of our agreement on that. So it's the right thing to do.
And the same holds true for the hotel rooms?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Because that always has been a bone of contention in a number of these gaming agreements, not only in this state but in other states as well, right?
Absolutely. And look, we are since day one when we first started this process, it's all been about transparency. You know, we first came to the community and said, here's what we're interested in doing. We launched into a listening tour where we met with over 1,000 people near to the project, neighborhoods around us, and we said, here's what we're thinking about. What is your input? What would you like to see? We showed multiple renderings. We talked with community and HOAs memberships about traffic mitigation, light pollution, because we wanted to make sure that when we move into a community like we are, especially on the North Shore, with the quality of life that we have, we wanted to reflect the community around us. And that comes back to having open dialogue. It comes back to having true transparency in every step of the way.
So, Jay, we're visiting with Jay Connaughton, spokesman, Camellia Bay Resort. Obviously, this process is a little different, right? I mean, you actually have a license that you're trying to transfer from Bossier City down to Slidell. Obviously, there are people in St. Ted that would much rather they get to choose the partner. So you have kind of a high hurdle to overcome in order to satisfy them. Why should they really trust in you? Is this $325 million proposed development one of the largest that your group has done? And your group, as I understand it, is Peninsula Pacific, which is a privately held corporation, right?
That's correct. And that's one of our strengths. Being privately held, we answer to no one other than our owners. We don't answer to, you know, stock prices and market changes. We have the ability and the freedom to make investments that really last for the long time. And you asked about what is the size of this development. We've had some properties that are bigger. We've had some properties that are smaller. But what we really specialize in is ground-up resorts. That's what we're passionate about. And we purchased Diamond Jackson Shreveport out of bankruptcy. Everybody knows the market in Shreveport is way too saturated. We bought that property when it was on its knees, and we stood it up for almost 5 years until COVID hit, saving, you know, hundreds of jobs, keeping people on the payroll. And when COVID hit, it was too much to stay there and to stay open. And we were knee deep into really working with the community here in St. Tammany about trying to develop this Camellia Bay project. And so when you look,
so of all of your casino properties, how many have y'all built from the ground up?
Several. Probably the one we're most proud of is DeLago in New York. It is a first-class establishment. USA Today came in and named it one of the top hotel casinos in the country, beating up many of the hotels, the first-class resorts that there are in Las Vegas. Even our one in Iowa is award-winning. When you look at the amount of awards that we have
Iowa,
won,
just so we're straight, Sioux City, you're talking about the Hard Rock, right?
Yes, sir.
In both the DeLago and in here, Peninsula Pacific had partners in the development of those properties, right?
We had different. There's been different licensing agreements and partnerships across the board. I mean, when you look at New York, it was a $450 million project for us. When you look at Hard Rock, it was a $200 million project. Both of them are success stories that we're really proud of. And here's one of the things, Newell, that I think a lot of people don't understand.
Well, but Jay, let me finish my point first, okay?
Sure. Because yes, sir.
I think a lot of the confusion and a lot of what's not being discussed is your ability to actually deliver. Now, they talk about you guys over-promising and under-delivering, and I want to address that issue because that seems to be the thing of the most concern. In this project, Peninsula Pacific is on its own, no partners?
We have entire venture capital groups that are part of our investment group. When you look at the projects that we put together over the years, we are on solid financial footing. When you look at the fact that Moody's and Standard & Poor's both upgraded our credit rating in the last 2 or 3 weeks and forecasted it was going to get even better. I mean, these are things that we're really proud of. But what I was going to get to, Noel, I think is
yeah, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about that and be real about that for a second, because just 11 months ago, y'all had a negative rating at Moody's and it was moved up to stable because of a lot of the improvements relative to COVID in some of your markets, right? I mean, let's be honest.
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, what they look at is a lot of complex matters, like your debt-to-income ratio and things of that nature. And you know, they were looking at Delago, New York, and saying, hey, this is a brand-new project, how it's doing, and our numbers in New York have been through the roof. And we're super excited about where they are. And if I could finish my point,
what a lot of
people don't realize about this project is that the Louisiana Gaming Control Board does a deep dive into our finances, into our ability to meet our promises and to meet our commitments. We've now been through the Gaming Control Board process in upwards of 6 or 7 states. And in every single one of these states, we've been told, great job, keep going, we're proud to have you as a partner. We've recently been awarded new projects in other states as a result of this deep economic dive into who we are and what our resources are. We would not be where we are today if the Gaming Control Boards in all of these different states didn't look at our financial backing and said, you're on the right track, keep going.
I agree with your assessment that they did a much deeper dive than I ever was going to be able to do. I get that. But you guys said the same thing when you bought the Bossier property. And so people ask when y'all bought Diamond Jacks, I went back, I read the press releases and everything else, and here we are less than 6 years later, and we've shut it down.
Yeah, but that's not exactly accurate. If you go back and you look at the articles and what we said that we're excited to be in here. We're looking to improve the facilities, which we did. The numbers got much better after we moved in, and we changed out the food and beverage program. We improved the hotel and made investments into it. But the state of Louisiana and every single gaming operation looks at Shreveport and says there's too many licenses there. We were the new kid on the block. We bought that license out of distress. We pumped money into it for 4 years, 5 years plus, saved those people's jobs, and we were proud to have done it. And when COVID hit, everybody closed. And we had to take a hard look in the mirror and say, do we want to continue to put the money into reinvesting into what we knew is something that we're not exactly proud of, in the sense of we bought it in distress, we bought it out of bankruptcy, or do we really want to commit all of our resources into this new project in St. Timothy Parish, which is really more aligned with what our vision is as a company, of building ground-up developments, resort-style experiences that we feel is the future of gaming. You know as well as I do that the state of Louisiana changed its gaming laws not too long ago to allow casinos to go land-based. You're not spending all this money in a moat or a floating floor, and you're
that's a huge upside. I get it. Absolutely.
It is. And this would be the first project developed under that law. This would be the first brand new project developed from the ground up under that law. And we're really excited about that. That is what our company's passionate about. So when we talk about things like the Drew Brees Steakhouse, and we talk about the Lazy River, and we talk about the convention center and the amphitheater, those are all really important things because they reflect what the future of gaming is, not what the past was. We're looking for destination experiences, and that's how we compete with Mississippi. It's how we compete with other experiences out there. Look, I go to these resorts. My wife and I go, and we enjoy it. I'm a lifelong resident of St. Tammany Parish. We don't put any money in the slot machines, but we enjoy the restaurants, and we enjoy the shopping. And you're seeing this massive shift towards that across our entire industry. And P2E and Camellia Bay are at the forefront of that, of doing things better. Look, you could build, for the investment that we're going to put into P2E at $325 million, you could build 30 treasure chest casinos for the amount of money we're going to spend on this thing. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. No, and it's going into quality, because we're not building a hotel tower like what they did at the Tula Burgess, and we're not having to waste money, you know, into a moat or a boat that's irrelevant to the experience. We're getting to put all the money right into the development to understand that it's quality, not quantity. And we have proven that that model works for us over the years.
Yep. Final thoughts?
No, I just, you know, a lot of the questions that you ask, I think, are coming from the distortions of the Mississippi casinos. Newell, every time you ran for office, you had to file a campaign finance report. You had to say who gave you money and where did the money go. These guys are not doing that. It's illegal. They are breaking our laws. They're breaking our laws with malice disregard for how our process works. And I think it's a complete shame. And they're using that money to spread lies about our developer. They're using it to spread lies about any shred of evidence about economic impact. You know, you and I both know that you probably got called out when you were sheriff to crimes at a Walmart way more often than you ever did at Treasure Chest. And so when you look at the economic impact of this, data matters, proof points matter, and the fact that they're hiding who their donors are and then using that money to spread lies to the people of St. Tammany Parish to keep us from having what the Gulf Coast already has, which is new roads, better schools, a higher quality of life, it's shameful. And, you know, they need to be asked point blank, how much money are you taking from the Mississippi casinos? Because if they're going to lie to you about that and they're going to disregard our ethics laws, why do you believe them on anything else that they say?
Well, and they make some of the same allegations of you guys as well. So, I mean, it's a tit for tat thing. I think the most valid issue here is whether or not you guys are in a financial position to be able to develop a $325 million development on time. And to develop what you promise that you're going to develop. And there are some that believe that maybe you can and others that believe that maybe you can't. You look at a private corporation as being an advantage. A lot of the other economists and so forth believe that to be a disadvantage in this arena. And most of your successful, a lot of your successful gaming operations, as you well know, in the top tier are not privately held. Some are, some aren't. But, you know, it's the capacity to have the money, obviously.
I would add this. This is one of the most highly regulated industries in the world.
Yeah.
We would not be in the position that we are right now if the Gaming Control Board looked at us, dove in our finances, and said there's a problem here. They would have stopped us in its tracks. The pages of financial information and the details and data that has to be presented to them and the amount of just sort of watchdog activity. The state police is headquartered in our building when we operate, watching every transaction that happens.
But the problem, Jay, is not in the original presentation. It's always going to be in the comeback. And almost without exception, in all of these casinos, they have come back and had to modify the original deal. You know it. I know it. Everybody is concerned about that. We saw it happen in the city of New Orleans. We saw it happen with a number of the boat operations in the metropolitan area. And I think there are a lot of people that are saying, yeah, this sounds great now, but in 5 years, this deal will change. And concern is. And then everyone is, they feel like they're at a disadvantage because, you know, we've got this investment here. What do we do with this property then?
If you look at what Camellia Bay has done already, they've already purchased the land. They've shown that commitment and that dedication to set the money up to purchase the land. When we heard concerns about the sports park that we've committed to the community build, because that's what the community told us they wanted.
Sure.
We know it's a privilege to operate in St. Tammany Parish. And they said, look, we've got concerns about this payout over time. Camellia Bay stepped up to the plate and said, you know what? We're going to give you 100% of all your funding at groundbreaking. 100% of all that money is going to be given to you up front. You're not going to have to wait on any of it over time. Time and again, as we've been asked to demonstrate our commitment to the community, we've delivered. After Hurricane Katrina,
I apologize. I'm going to have to get to a break. I would say that those are great indications of you guys meaning what you're saying and doing that up front. I agree with you. You know, the more times that you can put your money where your mouth is, the better off you're going to be in trying to, you know, persuade people to vote. Some people are just anti-gaming.
Sure.
You know, and, there's not anything that you're going to do to change their mind, whether or not you were bringing in the Rolling Stones every other weekend.
It
wouldn't matter to them. So, you know, I'm not one of those people. But, you know, and that's why I just kind of drilled down on the financials, because I think that is the most legitimate issue of all the issues that are there, is the ability to deliver what's been promised. So, Jay, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Best of luck to y'all on December the 11th, which is Election Day. And we will be right back, folks, with the opponents to the issue. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, we're back, and we have the opponents to this land-based casino, Camellia Bay, that's going to be on the ballot December the 11th. Josh Clayton, attorney with Clayton Law Firm based in Slidell. John Raymond, pastor of New Horizons Church in Slidell. And Rick Fronzo, president, Concerned Citizens of St. Tammany. Let's go to Josh first. Josh, what say you?
Good morning, Newell. Thank you so much for having us on this morning. We appreciate the time. And, you know, I'm going to speak, Newell, more to sort of the legalities relating to this election, and I'll leave, you know, anything relating to objections to the, you know, actual gaming project to John and to Rick. You know, Newell, really with the lawsuit that John Raymond, who's my client, filed, really just asked the court, you know, for a simple request, which is to require elected officials to comply with the Louisiana Constitution and other laws that govern an election to relocate a gambling casino from Bossier City to our parish. And that's a key, you know, a very, very important proposition. And Newell, as you pointed out, you know, in your discussion with our guest a moment ago, you know, this is a casino that has already failed in Bossier City. And so it's a very momentous decision for parish residents to make. But in terms of the legality, really, although there are a number of claims, which I'll just briefly preview, I won't get too, you know, I won't go hog wild in terms of the nitty gritty of the lawsuit. But really, this lawsuit that Pastor Raymond, our client, had the courage to file, really just asked the court to look at the processes and the procedures that underlay how we got to where we are today. And I'd like to just kind of go through a few of what those claims are. So the first couple of claims in the suit address the format of the election. And what these claims say is that before we can have a site-specific vote, that the Louisiana Constitution and gaming statutes require an initial election for the parish as a whole to decide whether to legalize riverboat gaming parish-wide. And why is that so key? It's so key because of what you probably have, we heard a lot about it in the press, the 1996 election. Now, let me pause there. I get it. It's been over two decades since 1996. Why do I go back to 1996? Well, Newell, that's because the entire state made a very important decision to govern our collective experience with gaming. In 1996, voters statewide approved a constitutional amendment to our Constitution to specify the procedures that would have to be followed if a parish that historically has been a no parish, meaning that collectively has said, we don't allow we don't legalize a particular form of gaming, such as the form of gaming at issue, that there has to be a specific election process that's followed. And here, Newell, the bottom line is, and we won't go into all the nitty-gritty, but we've cited the language of the Constitution that we believe clearly provides that before you can have St. Tammany Parish, which collectively decided no legalization of this form of gaming throughout the parish in 1996, that to change that result or that state of affairs, we have to follow the same process. And before we can do what has been put before the voters for the December 11th election, we first have to have a parish-wide vote on whether to legalize riverboat gaming throughout the entire parish. And, you know, I could go through a number of the other claims, but I know we have limited time. But here's kind of the bottom line on where we're at.
Which is what was done with video poker, if my memory serves me correct, right?
You know, and actually, I think just under my nose, I have my recollection is that 1996 vote was a no vote parish-wide. And I'm pulling up my notes here, but... And it's
well, what I'm saying is the parishes that approve video poker, they have video poker. Not all parishes have video poker, right?
Correct.
In the state of Louisiana. Some voted it in, some didn't. The same with sportsbook gaming. Isn't it going to be some have it, some won't?
That's exactly right. And Newell, thank you so much for making what I think is the critical point we want people to understand in terms of the legalities is, do we want people to have the right to vote? Absolutely. Do we want it to be a fair vote? Yes. But unfortunately, this election is neither, because what it does, Newell, is, and again, I think it was so key how, you know, you and Jay were able to discuss for the benefit of your listeners, the fact that, look, it's undisputed that gaming is heavily regulated for any number of reasons, tightly, tightly regulated. And that's because certainly, as the opponents will bring up, there are a number of issues which I won't delve into, whether it be crime, whether it be human trafficking, whether it be, you know, revenue concerns, taxation issues, bankruptcies, all those sorts of things. And so as a state, we've decided in our Constitution to say, look, we've got to have a specific process by law that governs the very format of an election. And we're just saying we want it done fairly. We want it done according to law. You know, basically where we're at with the litigation in brief is Judge John Keller.
So, Josh, let me ask you this. Ahead. Why would this not be in the purview of the gaming board? Yeah, and I got to imagine that if the license comes into question as to whether or not a license can reside in St. Tammany Parish legitimately, have you guys asked the gaming board as to why they're not opining on that issue?
Well, that's a good question. Certainly, Newell, you're aptly noting out there are a number of governmental prerequisites before you can have the transfer of a license, combined with the question here, as we claim has been unlawfully done, combined with the question of whether or not to legalize riverboat gaming.
And the reason I ask the question is,
go ahead.
Is obviously someone has indicated to Camellia Bay but that they've got some kind of okie-dokie. I mean, they wouldn't be making this investment if there was uncertainty from the gaming board as to whether or not they would allow them to transfer this license to Slidell.
Well, that's one piece of the puzzle is what I would say, Newell. It's also a piece of the puzzle that, as I understand it, there had to be a hearing before the bond commission. And we could talk about all the different pieces of the puzzle, but we're just focusing really in our suit on the fundamental issues here and just the language of the gaming laws and the Constitution that say you have to format it this particular way. And here's my final piece, if I may, that's so key, is that our client can speak to this. He was actually at the legislative hearings in Baton Rouge, and Representative Mary Dubuisson's initial bill, Newell, House Bill 497, actually had this two-election procedure, as we've called it in the suit. The exact procedure that we're asking the court to adhere to, it was originally spelled out and that it was going to be two elections. First, will we legalize it parish-wide? And secondly, conditionally, on the outcome of the first election, will we move the license across the state to this particular site? Newell, that was specifically what the bill was written to say, but then when a companion bill by Senator Sharon Hewitt was dying on the vine, what did we see mid-session? The bill was completely overhauled and replaced with a new bill that merged the two separate questions into one. And so when you just look at that, there's we could go into Senator Gary Smith's vote that was tainted by his wife, was, you know, a paid casino lobbyist at the time. I know we're limited on time, but
let's go to Pastor Raymond and hear from him. Pastor, welcome to the show. Your thoughts.
Thank you, Neil. My thoughts are I'm so thankful that Josh Clayton is just a tiger on this thing. He's done so many hundreds of hours of research, and he really nailed it. Josh, you did a great job explaining that in a nutshell. And, yeah, Newell, you know, we have a situation here where if the people want to vote to put a casino in Slidell, great. They want to vote to put one in Chiffonchia or Mandeville Lakefront, Covington, wherever they wanted it, great, fantastic. But make it fair and make it legal. And what this bill does by substituting House Bill 702 is that it allows Folsom people who are as far away from the casino location as the people in Metairie at the MSY airport, it allows Folsom to vote on whether a casino is going to go in Slidell, so we get the mess and they get the money. It's unfair, and that's why the Louisiana Constitution was written the way it was, so that you couldn't have the people in a parish vote on one particular location. No, if they want to vote yes, then they have to vote yes for their backyard as well as our backyard.
Well, in theory, they might be. I mean, let's be honest. There are only 15 licenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 15
yeah.
licenses in a land-based casino in New Orleans. So you have so unless there's another license that comes up, the reality is that this issue may not ever be ripe.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing.
And then you got to get the gaming board to approve, the move as well. And the same issues that they're having
right.
in Shreveport with it being in Bossier oversaturated could fast become the issue here if they continue to do it, because right now we already have land-based and two other boat casinos in the metro area. We had one that fell out that was unsuccessful in New Orleans. Had one proposed at one point in time.
You make a good point, Newell, that, yeah, you make a good point that it could be the one in Slidell, and then that's it. Well, two things. Number one, if that's the case, then why does the West Side get to vote on this without having to vote first, as the Constitution requires, to open up the entire parish? Because I promise you this, if this was done constitutionally, and Metairie and Mandeville and Madisonville were voting on whether or not to open up the entire parish for gambling, I can assure you this would fail. And that's why the cloak and dagger with the substitute bill of 702, because they knew that they could shove it down our throat. But also you look at Mary Dubuisson, who authored the bill, and you could see her on the House floor saying that in her estimation, the licenses for casinos should be unlimited. So how do you know, or I know, that down the road there won't be 15 licenses, 20 or 25 licenses, and now St. Tammany Parish has four or five casinos? We don't know that. But what we do know is that this vote is unconstitutional for the very reason that they shoved it that way, which is to let the West vote to put a casino on the East.
But procedurally, do you not think that that's going to end up being the same? I mean, that folks that are anti-gaming are going to end up voting against this issue one way or the other? I mean,
absolutely. That's completely false. That's completely false. Because the people in Mandeville are having a different vote. They're not voting on whether or not we can open up St. Tammany Parish for gambling. They're voting on whether or not we can open up Slidell for gambling. So, no, it's you're thinking of it from a standpoint of not from the standpoint of a Mandeville person. Think of a resident of Madisonville on the Chiffonchia River. If the vote was, we want to open up St. Tammany Parish for gambling, and there's a slight chance that one could come on the mouth of the Chiffonchia, they would go and vote no. If you said, we're going to vote for gambling, but the only way it could come is in Slidell, they could very well vote yes. That's my point, okay. And that's the point of the Louisiana Constitution.
Pastor, let's do this. I got to get to a break. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. We're visiting with the opponents to the bill. Stay with us, folks. This is Newell on WWL.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're back, folks. We're visiting with the opponents to the Camellia Bay election of the land-based casino there in Slidell. We've talked about what folks have said are legal impediments to this election. And let's visit with the president of Concerned Citizens of St. Tammany, Rick Fronzo. Rick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Newell. I appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
Go ahead. Your thoughts, Rick.
Well, I will go back to our position on this, and I think the legal side, Josh and John painted a true picture. As our organization, we believe that people should have the right to the vote, but it goes back to whether we followed the right procedure to get to this point, and I don't think we did, and I think the law is on our side in this case. But on the practical side of the equation, and that's where I think we come in a lot. And we're involved a lot with law enforcement on corruption issues, and we're involved with sex trafficking. We're involved with any type of criminal activity. We work closely with law enforcement. And I guess our biggest concern from CCST's point of view is the possibility of the reality of crime increasing into Slidell. Slidell has had an increase in crime dramatically over the past year or so anyway. And with this casino, and it's not a resort, it is a casino, and it's a low-end casino. When you make comparisons of other casinos, whether they're in the Gulf Coast or in Vegas or up in the Northeast, this is considered a low-end casino. It's not a destination city. Slidell will never be a destination city. It's a rooftop, a family community, and I think nobody living in Idaho or California is going to say, I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to come to Slidell. So where are we going to feed off of? Who are we going to feed off of to support this casino? You're going to feed off a lot of the local people. I think it's going to bring in some elements that are going to create more crime into Slidell. And you think about it, and I think John's point was well made. You know, I think the people on the west side of the parish or even the center part of the parish, you know, it's easy to vote when it's not in your neighborhood. It's more difficult to vote when it is in your neighborhood. And I know if it was reversed, people in Mandeville would be screaming. I was actually involved with – I had gotten a call when came up with the Fountain Blue project when – Billy Nungesser wanted to do a boutique motel inside Fountain Blue. And there was a lot of rumors at that time of bringing in a riverboat casino. And Billy had called me up and he said, Rick, he says, I really like you be involved in this and be on a committee when we evaluate this. And he says, Rick, there's no casino. There's no casino. It's just about a hotel. I said, Billy, I said, I have no problem being involved with the committee. I said, our organization and my board will only give you our honest opinion on it, good, bad, or ugly, and you'd have to be willing to accept that. And he said to me, absolutely, Rick, we welcome that. So he had called me up, and he says, would you come down to Fountain Blue, down to Mandeville's town hall. We're having a meeting to discuss it with the people predominantly in the Mandeville area. So I went. It was extremely packed and well-attended. You had political people there. You had a lot of residents there. I think majority are from the Mandeville-Covington area that were participating in the meeting. And I'll be honest with you, it was an eye-opening experience. People were livid. And not so much about the motel, the idea of a motel, but more of the idea of that rumor about a casino coming into Fountain Blue Park or adjacent to Fountain Blue Park. And for me, I looked at that and I said, wow, that's impressive how all these people have come together. And that's what I believe is the consensus of most people on the west side, whether it's Madisonville, whether it's Covington, whether it's Mandeville.
So, Rick, your recommendation then, because we've got to get to another break here, I apologize, okay. But so your recommendation is to those that are on the west side that if you want to ensure that you never have to deal with this issue of gaming is to vote this down.
Absolutely. I think they all have to think about if it was in their neighborhood, would they want it? And I think they would absolutely vote against it. And I think I hope the people on the west side of the parish realize that and support the majority, I believe, in Slidell that will oppose it.
Yep. All right, guys, we have run out of time. I apologize. Good luck on December the 11th with your opposition to this proposition. And maybe we'll talk after the election. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great week. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Okay, it's time to play Disney Claws. WWL wants to give you the best Christmas gift ever, a Caribbean Disney Cruise Line family vacation where imagination meets adventure with everything from Disney characters, Broadway-quality shows, imaginative dining, and exclusive spaces for adults and kids alike. The Disney Christmas code word this hour is Rudolph, R-U-D-O-L-P-H. You want to now go to WWL.com/contests and enter the word Rudolph every weekday right before the top of the hour news at 9, noon, and 3 p.m. Listen for the new Disney Christmas code word and your chance to win a Disney cruise for four to the Caribbean that starts here in New Orleans for four, five, or six nights. It's the winner's choice. Good luck and Merry Disney Christmas from all of us at WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.